This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
They're taking their shot. They have spent so much money. They're right in the prime of the careers of Gerrit Cole and Giancarlo Stanton. And they got Aaron Judge for this year, for next year, and then he hits free agency. So they're going to take a run at it.
The team being able to get on track and play this kind of baseball, play up to the expectations that we had for them coming into this season.
If the Yankees don't go to the World Series, it's a failed season. Anything short of the World Series is a failed season.
Well, they're doing their best.
Start spreading. We've been spreading too. It's been like 18 weeks since they lost, right?
Jeez, start spreading the news. We laid on the news.
I think it was the Obama administration. That's what exactly. It feels like. Chris Garland, Bart Scott, Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and the ESPN app, not to mention your smart speakers by saying play ESPN Radio. I'm, of course, in for Alan today, along with Bart, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. You need to be a part of Bart and Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. If you stayed up late on the East Coast, if you're on the West Coast.
Yeah, what's up with that, man?
Yeah, it's a killer.
Yeah, man. Like, especially when you gotta get up at 4:30. they got this figured out. Oh, what happened? What happened was?
Yeah, they're up 6-0, and they blow a 6-0 lead, and the A's come back to tie it, but the Yankees find a way to win again. And Giancarlo Stanton is just lighting it up. Mm. He's hitting rockets all over the place.
What'd you say? He was 116 off the BIZAT?
Yeah.
Remember, it was a point in time where we used to call him the tackle man.
Yeah.
Low leverage home runs.
Exactly. Because he was never hitting them in the clutch, but he has been lately. The Yankees have won 12 in a row, and it is the eighth time in the last 100 years that they have had a 12-game winning streak.
It's in black and white. You know what's funny, man? You ever remember the Bronx Tale?
Sure.
Right, and remember Sonny?
Yep.
Right, and when the guy that he finally killed Sonny, like, and everybody was smiling, and like it was one guy in the room that was frowning.
Yeah.
That's Luke Voit. You know what I'm saying? Luke Voit, like, what I got to do to get some damn respect around here? He's like, I'm the reigning home run champion. And this is how you treat me? I'm pinning cases on all you. I'm the police. You can't do that to me. I'm Luke Voit. You know where you're going? You're going to Pelican Bay.
For those who are unaware, Bart just jumped from Bronx Tale right over to Training Day.
Cause I feel like, King Kong ain't got nothing on me. I'm sick of this Gallo guy. I'm the man that got the juice. I'm healthy. Everybody else is so happy, high-fiving. He over there in the corner figuring out, how do I get this dude out of the damn lineup, and how do I get in?
You know how absurd this streak is for the Yankees?
It's crazy.
They, in the second half of the season, Bart, in close games, in other words, two runs or less, mm-hmm. are 21-4 in the second half of the year since the All-Star break. And overall, this year they have won 45 games that have been decided by two runs or less. And it's the most in baseball. It's absolutely absurd.
It is absurd. But the same thing make you laugh will make you cry.
Exactamundo.
Eventually, the baseball gods turn it the other way. And Chappy, old Chappy, listen, I told you can never trust a black man over 40 without facial hair. But tell you what, you can never trust a black man that sweats from the top lip. I don't know who sweats more, him or Patrick Ewing, but I tell you what, he's making me nervous. He's making me nervous. No Zach Britton. You got Johnny Loaisiga. He's doing his thing. But Chappy makes me nervous. Chappy makes me Chappy.
This might be like one of the last times I get a chance to use this, so I'm just going to do that.
Carlin's official statement? No comment.
Well, the point is...
Do you trust him?
No, I don't trust him
because he's a black man. That top lip... No, okay, well, you don't...
Does anyone want to take this one? No? Okay, let's move on then.
Okay, you don't trust him because he's not...
I don't trust him because he's...
Well.
Because,
yes. We both come to the same conclusion. I just get there a different way.
That's exactly. Okay. You have different reasons, ones that I care not to expand upon. But having said that, Bart... Yeah. Mm-hmm. The fact that they have been so good in these games that have been so close, it does have that karma aspect to it, that luck aspect to it. And we've talked about this before, but this is more of, you look at, there have actually been studies about why teams are so good in 1 and 2 run games, and there is a degree of luck to it. First of all, Aaron Boone, not necessarily buying into that.
You know, I would say, one, there are really good players in there. We're familiar in those situations. So I think, you know, they play with a lot of confidence in these close games. And, you know, I think the more you play in them, the more comfortable you get. You know, it's not always been easy or perfect, but these guys are really good at competing, you know, especially when the game's in the balance. And obviously we've lost some in those situations. We've lost some really tough ones, but I think these guys do a really good job of not dwelling on it, being able to bounce right back. And some of our best wins have come up after some of our worst losses. So it was another case of the guys really, you know, competing really well.
Chris, translation.
You know what? I don't know.
Like, stop it, man. You're living right now. Stop it. Let's not act like, oh, we really have great hitters and all this. Blah, blah, blah. Really? Listen, you don't explain luck. You just hope that you're living right. The same thing that you're doing, not touching the line, not eating the green M&Ms inside of the package. Like, whatever you're doing, everybody keep doing it because we know athletes are super superstitious. But eventually, see, you would love if this good wuju, this good karma was happening during the playoffs, right?
Right.
Because you know it's going to swing. That thing swings back and forth.
Well, this is what bothers me about it. So ESPN Research gave this to me, went back and looked. And over the last 20 years, the teams in baseball that have had the best records in one-run games, mm-hmm. only two of them have ever gone to the World Series. Mm. One was the Rays last year in a shortened season. And the other one, the only one to ever win a World Series was the 2005 White Sox. There are plenty of times where teams have been great in one-run games, but there are not tangible results after that where they don't even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So here's what is really getting to me right now. You have had this luck involved. You have had all of these things going your way. And even the most ardent Yankee fan would have to agree to that. Bart, now it's not about making the playoffs. Now it's about winning the division. We have changed the story.
But the Rays ain't losing either.
This is the point. Nobody is paying attention to
right,
that.
Look at the Yankees. Look at the Yankees. Yo, the Rays ain't losing, everybody, ladies and gentlemen. Didn't they get Nelson Cruz?
Yeah.
Hey. Now they got a little pop at the bat. We know they the ultimate analytics bullpen super team. You don't know who the hell to prepare for. They got a lot of guys that throw 90 or better, right?
The Rays were great in the first half, and in the second half, they're 26-11.
Oh, so they're not dependent on luck.
No, they're flat baseball. Out winning, and they're beating teams. And I don't want to say the Yankees are depending on luck. All right, you are here because you have done a lot of good things. That's a big part of it, too. But now that you have had that luck, it is about moving forward, what you have to do with it. And to me, the Yankees cannot count on being in a situation of a one-game playoff. Any team that's a really good team that is in that is scared to you-know-what out of it, by it, because otherwise, you can see that season end so quickly, it's not even fun.
See, and this is the thing, right? They had us all drawn in the offseason, right?
Right.
And then we kind of say, you know what? This isn't the team that we expected, right? The window's closing. They got to figure out what they're going to do with Judge. Gleyber hasn't lived up to expectations. We thought he would be like Tatis right now. This and that and this and that. Luke Voit can't stay healthy. And then all of a sudden, they draw us back in with this win streak. And then now expectations are high. And maybe now, because it's late in the season, expectations are even higher than what they were early on, because we can see the light at the end of the tunnel saying, hey, they're playing some of the best baseball. It's not about when you play good. It's not about if you play good. It's when you play good, and they're peaking at the right time. They're peaking. Cashman's great. Booney's great. You know when they're filling them around here, they start calling him Booney.
Yeah.
Booney's great, right? All that. No, you'll hear no Joe Girardi, nothing around here, right? And then what happens is, if they get canned in a wild card game, or better yet, if they lose in the first round, or if they lose to the Houston Astros without the zappers on the nipples or on the areolas, then what's going to happen? Everybody going to say, this team sucks. All they do is hit from this. They ain't got enough. They got left-handed bats, and now they got to get rid of Hyde. They got to get rid of Voit because he's a right-hander. They got to get Gallo, and the narrative is going to change. Listen, it swings fast around here. This New York, baby, this is what we signed up for.
without the zappers on the aerial is amazing.
Just saying. You know what I mean?
So is there a degree of truth in what Bart's saying? Time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And by degree of truth, I mean all of it. Bart, New England and the Patriots, Cam Newton back at practice yesterday. Listen, look at Bart's face. It is so pained right now.
I mean,
for those watching on ESPN Plus.
Practice.
It's practice, man. Give me the AI.
I mean, practice, man. Not, we ain't talking about the game. Not right. The game. Practice. Yeah, I'm supposed to be the franchise player. We talking about practice. Come on, man. Like, you're killing me, Petey. But the same thing make you laugh, make you cry. You can't be going back and forth to yo-yo what happens in practice and preseason games. You don't even know what the hell they working on that day. Like, they could have been working on something that they were going against the Giants, and it was something like we were putting the Giants' defense in the worst possible situation because the coaches collude about the periods in which they're going against. And guess what? Mac and Cheese looked great. Then the next day, Cam Newton's back. All of a sudden, he's not so great. Like, stop it. Listen. A rookie's like Bitcoin. Up, 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 down, up, down, up, down, up, down. You can't deal with that. You need consistency in your lineup. And right now, I think the person that gives you the best chance to know what you're going to get out of him is going to be Cam Newton. Does he play football the way that you expect a Patriots quarterback to play? No. But the young kid isn't ready yet. He will be ready, but he's not ready yet. And anybody that thinks he is crazy and delusional.
I'll tell you what. I look at this from the standpoint of a head coach that is trying to win right now, that spent a fortune this offseason in free agency. And I've got two guys that are capable of winning me games early in the year, I think. It's just, what does it mean with Cam to honestly evaluate how much he can give you all season long? Does it mean you can rely on him for a lengthy period of time this year or not? That to me is very, very, it's got to be incredibly, I don't want to say the word confusing for Bill Belichick. That's not it. Perplexing to a degree about who I'm going to get and for how long out of Cam, and do I just ride that for whatever?
Yeah, he's a rental. Like, listen, it's just absurd to me that the organization that has made a mockery of every rookie quarterback they have ever played against that's not named Mark Sanchez, all of a sudden is going to put their future, their short-term goals in the hands of a rookie quarterback. I don't see that happening, right? I think they want to have somebody that can understand the nuance. Because you start Mac Jones, by week five, opposing teams will have had a catalog of things that he does well and things that he doesn't do well. And I don't know if he's ready to make the adjustment to the adjustment. Cam is. Cam's been there, done that, MVP. He was Mac and Cheese at one point. He was the hopeful, post-Jake DeLone era quarterback that came in. And remember what Cam did his first year. Do you not remember? What was his first game? Threw for 350 against Green Bay when Green Bay had a good defense. What happened? He came back to earth. You don't want Mac and Cheese to come back to earth and you've lost Cam because now Cam's not a good soldier because he thinks his future is over with. And then now you got to try and pump him back up. And then you go back to the kid. I think you go with Cam. Cam maybe gets beat out or, Tampa Bay gets in his, gets at him week four. And then you can go to the rookie in the midst of a blowout and the rookie can look good in the second half when they take the gas off.
Well, Mac Jones, with Cam back yesterday, apparently didn't have his greatest practice.
Pressure.
So here's Mac on the fact that he didn't play that great in practice yesterday.
Yesterday, I got a lot of reps, and it was great, and we communicated, and felt like we were in a really good flow, and I kind of got into, a game flow. And then today, it's a little bit harder just to get into that, but I can get better because you just got to watch the tape. Today, we definitely got to finish better, and that starts with me, really. I think Cam did a good job today, and we'll definitely have some time here to kind of regroup and then play this final preseason game.
That was yesterday after practice.
So if Cam did good, I'm assuming that the people that were out there with Cam did good, right? Because Cam did good. He did good because the people around him caught the ball or ran the ball, right? So Cam did good. So where the hell is all this we coming from? Mm-hmm. We got to be better. No, you got to be better. Don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby. I ain't got nothing to do with that. If Cam did well, the people out there with Cam did well. That means you had a bad day. Don't project on me and don't try and point the thumb once you've already pointed the finger.
Okay, one other quarterback battle. Jameis Winston, officially named starter in New Orleans.
A duh
is right, or preferably a doy. But at any rate.
Or adult.
Bart, we saw this coming.
And Stevie Wonder saw this coming. These people with all these like fake competitions, like, come on, this was not a real competition.
But having said that, I think the Saints are in big trouble this year. I think Jameis, I know what the physical abilities are. To me, at some point you hit a time in your career where you are what you are. And I don't believe that Sean Payton, as much of a magician as he is, can even pull off this magic trick of turning him into a player that doesn't turn the football over.
See, I have to disagree with you just slightly there, Creasy. Because guess what? Listen, he went to the wrong situation. He went to a dude that you need control on. He took the shackles off of him. Told him no risky, no bisky. And I tell you what, it was a lot of biscuits for everybody. Listen, one thing about Jameis Winston in a Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey, you knew somebody was catching the ball, you just didn't know who, right? Mm-hmm. It was either his guy or the other guy. The ball wasn't hitting the ground either way. But when you look at it, you cook it down, he was a 5,000-yard passer. And it's not the first time he's had success. He's had success under multiple coaches. And what showed me that Jameis Winston, even though he almost got knocked out by the running back machine and he had that little weird dance, looked like he was at a Flo Rida concert, what told me that he was mature was the fact that he recognized and understood that the best situation that he can put himself in was to have a gap year for him to sit down and watch. And that takes a tremendous amount of dignity, pride, but humility. And he showed humility because he went there in the same division. We had to watch the team that said, we're one quarterback away, actually prove that they were only one quarterback away from a championship. He had to eat that. He had to digest that, and he had to accept it.
So we're going to chalk this up to it has taken a lot longer for Jameis to mature.
Yeah. To mature, because listen, that was a dysfunctional organization there. When you think about the cast of characters they had at head coach there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, wasn't your guy there with Jameis?
No, Greg Schiano was not there.
Oh, who
with
came
Jameis.
After that? The dude that was the offensive coordinator. That
it
whatever.
Was Lovie Smith came after him.
Oh god!
And then
he was doomed from the beginning.
Yeah, that
right
was right
there.
When Jameis was getting drafted.
And it was the offensive coordinator,
Dirk Cutter.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like that was dysfunction, right? But he still had some good seasons, showed promise. It's all about being consistent. We've seen guys, you know, make the change in their career. Drew Brees was good, but he didn't become Drew Brees until he went to the Saints after he lost his job because they thought that he wasn't a franchise quarterback. We saw Rich Gannon in his career grow from being a guy that was a disappointment to being a four-time Pro Bowler and an MVP. So, like, it does happen.
Okay.
But it takes self-awareness, and he has tremendous self-awareness because that took a lot because Jameis could have got a job and could win and competed somewhere else and try to get a starting job, but he went in division.
This is a great point on your part because it's not something I ever would have considered. Not that he wouldn't mature, but after 5-6 years in the league, you think it's just – because I look at the touchdown to interception, Bart, it's never been close to 2-1.
But the dude said no risky, no bisky.
But even before that, I'm talking
about –
like
if you like to drive fast and dude's like, hey, man, go on Autobahn. You think you're going to go slow? No.
No, I'm not talking about even 2 years ago with Arians. I'm talking about the other years in his career. He's throwing 14, 15 picks a year and not throwing 30 and 35 touchdowns. That's my problem is that the risk-reward was never at the appropriate level, at the appropriate ratio.
He had bad teams, too. And so, like, when you're doing that and he had the expectations, he was immature. Remember, he's really young.
28 and 42 as a starter.
Jameis was like 20 when he got in the league. Mm-hmm. I mean, so the talent was there, but the team wasn't good around him. He was just throwing it up because that's the only way that they can win if he threw for an absurd amount of yards. Because remember, they never really had a running back behind him.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Yankees, we talked about their 12th consecutive win. Is it now win the division or bust? Is the wild card enough for you? 888-SAY-ESPN. The Yankees and the A's are also the Sunday night game. So this Sunday night baseball preview is brought to you by Samsung Galaxy. Shop the impressive Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3 5G and Z Flip 3 5G at Samsung.com. So there's also the quarterback situation in New England. Should it be Cam? Should it be Mac? 888-SAY-ESPN. And is Jameis actually mature now enough that the Saints are going to have a big year and Sean Payton will help him become the quarterback that he has always been trying to be? All of that is on the table, and the phone lines are open. The Dr. Pepper call-in line at 888-SAY-ESPN right now. Now,
after I have a little DoorDash, are you going to tell everybody about DoorDash?
Well, first I was going to tell them what's coming up in just a moment.
Oh,
and that's the fact that it is interesting to see how these individual NFL teams are approaching the final preseason game. Two division rivals are going at it in completely opposite ways, and it's not surprising. What am I talking about? We're going to tell you that in moments after Bart tells you about DoorDash.
DoorDash here with the summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get a special savings on exclusive menu items and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass and the DoorDash app. And stay cool out there, especially today. It's kind of hot. Terms and conditions apply. Back after this. Who are you talking about, Creasy? Tell me in a break.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
I feel like we're at Mango, Miami Beach.
Let's do it. Ugh. Clevelander. Ugh. Oh. One Tweezy. Ugh.
Let me tell you something. Back in the day, me at the Clevelander, that was a sight. That was a sight.
I've seen my drunk friend fall into the pool. It was like on old school when he got shot with the tranquilizer in the neck. Dude, you took one to the juggler. You're crazy.
I got to tell you. I think we've all seen our drunk friend fall into the pool with the Clevelander.
You're crazy. I like you.
888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Our opening segment brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. ESPN Radio, as always, brought to you by our friends at Progressive Insurance. Progressive brings bundling or makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. We will get to more of the calls in just a moment at 888-SAY-ESPN. Bart, I am absolutely mystified by how different teams are approaching this third preseason game. Now, I know we are in a new time, right? And it always was a league-wide standard that the fourth preseason game, you played starters, maybe a series, but generally not even.
But
now, this is now the last preseason game of the training preseason camp.
Which is week number three.
Week number three.
Just so I make sure I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Mystify, you know, that means confused, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes, I'm very confused.
Sometimes you got to cook it down for me. You
know? No, I understand. All like, I'm confused. Words. I'm confused by the fact that we have a team like the Giants who haven't played their starters at all in the first few games, and now you're going to play them all in the third preseason game. Mm. Okay, you can play them more than a half. You've got other teams that are not going to play anybody in this third preseason game and let them sit idle for 3 weeks leading up to the opener. I'm a little bit more surprised that there hasn't been a more uniform approach to this. I thought that maybe you'd see that second preseason game become the one that was most like a dress rehearsal.
Well, it depends on the team, right? It depends on how long you've been together, how long you've been within the system, how long your head coach has been with you, who's behind center. I can remember we traded for Steve McNair very, very late in the season from Tennessee to become our quarterback, right? So Steve didn't really have the reps that he needed. Mm-hmm. So you know, Harbaugh come to us. No, it was Brian Billy, one of them. I don't know who the coach was at the time. Think of, whatever. All right. Mm-hmm. Whatever the head coach was, came to us and said, hey, man, we got to get Steve some reps. And so, Jonathan, I need you to play. Like, all you guys that are used to, like, not playing,
taking
eating
this
hot
game
dogs,
off.
Eating sunflower seeds, I need you to play because we got to get some rhythm because we need to hit the season running. So it all depends, right? So you think about the Giants, right? You think about Saquon just being clear for contact, right? You think about Rudolph just coming back. You need to get some continuity because Daniel Jones needs to know what it looks like when you run a 12-yard out opposed to where Ingram runs a 12-yard out, like your depth, your strides, how long does it take you to get there so that he can make sure that he can deliver you the football in a position where you can turn upfield and make a play. So that's what I'm talking about when you talk about the situation matters. And listen, you talk about a guy like Daniel Jones that is young in the system. This is a very pivotal year for him. Jason Garrett has only been his coordinator for 2 years. Joe Judge has only been his coach for 2 years. They have to be on the same page.
Well, this is what I'm talking about. Here's Joe Judge yesterday discussing Saquon Barkley. In fact, he was back in 11-on-11s for the first time yesterday, but also the need for him to take hits before the season starts.
I think every player, Jordan, has to have physical contact and experience the hits they're going to take in a game before it becomes live, full speed, and regular season. For us to put a player on the field without preparing him either through practice or preseason games, without contact, we're putting that player in danger and at a disservice. The reality is when you go out there in Denver, Washington, Atlanta, that's live bullets now. They're flying around. They're trying to hit our players as hard as they can. So the best thing you can do for your players is prepare them for what they're going to see by putting them in controlled situations, experience the technique, let your body get used to the contact and the collisions that are going to happen in a game, and then build on that as it goes to a more 11-on-11 situation. But before I put him out there in live contact and just say, you know, Godspeed, we're going to make sure this guy's prepared because my number one priority is his health.
Now, having said that, he's not going to play in the game this weekend against the Patriots on Sunday. So he will get that in the next couple of weeks in practice in a more controlled environment. But then flip to the Cowboys and Dak. Dak, the Cowboys say right now, no restrictions. We are full go, full steam ahead. But he's not playing.
Yeah.
Bart, I get it. He's the quarterback. But doesn't a guy like that need to get hit before the season starts, before you're going to put him out there against Todd Bowles' defense on opening night?
I guess not unless you have, like, the all-century team out there blocking for him at the on the offensive line. He's not going to get hit. Somebody's going to turn to him. Maybe
Tyron, do they have the all-century team and I missed it?
Yeah, maybe Tyron Smith turns around to him like necessary roughness. I will not let them touch you, Mr. Blake. Like, so I don't know because at some point – I think if it ain't Steve McClendon, or if it isn't Barrett, or if it isn't JPP, or if it isn't Ndamukong Suh, somebody's going to ask him, can you give me a piggyback ride to the ground? And Dak needs to have the confidence to know that he can sustain that so that he's not panicky in the pocket. You need him secure and confident in the pocket. And I don't know how he can be confident in the pocket if already the knee has caused compensation in his thorn shoulder, and who knows if it can handle, you know, being hit. And then what's – it's not about the game, right? Because they'll shoot him up with enough tranquilizer darts that he wouldn't feel if an elephant got on his back. But the problem is when all that stuff wears off, how does it feel and does it swell up and is he okay and how long can he go for?
I think this is a problem.
It is.
I think it's a problem for the Cowboys for the majority of the season.
Oh, it ain't going away. Like,
nope.
Listen, did Andrew Luck show to get better?
No.
Did Cam Newton show to get better?
No.
Okay, so we expect Dak Prescott – who's dealing with compensation, who hasn't gotten a hit yet. Like, he hurt his shoulder, not even thought. It was like week one of the camp.
This is nuts to me. Yeah. All right, look. I'll just ask this question. I know this is crazy to even consider, but if you're not going to play him in a preseason game, would you let him get hit at all in training camp the rest of the way before the season starts?
You might get him a little thud. But then you worry about Thug because guys are pulling up, and if he throws the ball and he hits a thumb on a helmet, it could be all she wrote then, because if you hit the thumb on a helmet, ligament, break the hand, it could be even worse. So I don't know if you want him ever really getting hit live.
Yeah.
You know,
if you're not going to play him in a preseason game.
Because you always got some dumb dude, right? It's always a dumb dude that say, okay, man, let's protect each other, but let's go, this is a live period. A dude like Parsons want to show his speed, and he on a rollout, and he hits him after the snap or something, he falls back in that lay. You don't want that happening because it's going to break the team up, stuff like that.
Okay, so you don't trust him from a stupidity standpoint. On the defensive side, to not hit him.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, not stupidity, but aggressive.
Because if you're going to hit him.
Aggressive,
like,
stupidity.
Not to take him to the ground. Like, okay, don't take the biggest shot you can take.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Should the Cowboys be getting Dak action before the season starts? And is it going to be a problem all year long?
All you have to do is ask Dallas. Dallas is always listening to us. They love us. They hate me, but they love us. And they respect us. Dallas, please call in. If you're a Dallas fan around the country, you listen to me and Creasy. You know what I'm saying? Tell us. Are you confident? Do you believe that Dak should be day? Should he be out there getting some hits?
888-SAY-ESPN. Coming up, there are major storylines in the NFL everywhere for preseason game number 3. So what are we looking forward to the most? What are the biggest storylines that you need to be paying attention to? That, your calls in moments. Barton Hahn, Chris Carlin in for Allen on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Hahn.
In the mix, as usual, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart and Hahn coming to you live from the Seaport District, Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Chris Carlin in for Allen. Let's hit the calls at 888-SAY-ESPN on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. We will begin with Butch, who is in Dallas, up first. Butch, what's your concern level with Dak right now?
Hey, guys, what's up? I love the show. You guys make me laugh all the time. The concern in Dallas is Dak hasn't played in over a year, and they're not putting him up for preseason to show what's going on. And I feel like they're hiding something. I feel like the Cowboys team is hiding something. They know something's wrong with him, but they're not showing it. And we can't really rely on Cooper Rush or DiNucci. I think this year is not looking good at all.
Yeah, remember what they said, right? Oh, nothing to see here. And he's like, he'll be back. Just go get in and get some treatment. Watching Hard Knocks. Happened, what, the first practice, second practice?
Yeah,
like,
first one.
You mean to tell me you can't say you got a tired arm? Like, when did you strain it, right? It's because of compensation or something. So now we've gone from nothing to see here to 4 weeks. I'm concerned because my quarterback that I've just given over $40 million a year hasn't been able to show me that he can, you know, one, master this offense, two, that he's able to take a hit on the leg. And now we're worried about another injury. I'm concerned.
This is what I'm talking about. I'm not just worried about him having confidence with when he gets hit with the leg, when he gets hit low. What about when his right shoulder gets driven into the ground?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a big thing? I mean, what am I missing here? I'm lost on this. Jose in Dallas. Jose, your take on Dak. Go.
Hey, I want to say, buddy, real quick, Dak, he ain't ready. The Cowgirls, they're hiding. He's not ready. The Cowgirls know he's not right. He's not going to be right the whole season. By the way, Bart, every single day I listen to you, you keep bringing that fire. You keep bringing that fire to the radio because you make it worth listening to. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it, man. He called them the Cowgirls. I'm not going to go that far. But they have been soft as Charmin when you think about that defensive side of the football. They went out and got a man who had a soft defense. And it makes you think, is it more about Dan Quinn? And was it Dan Quinn, right?
Dan Quinn's the D coordinator.
Yeah, it's not about Dan Quinn, right? Or is it about he had the Legion of Boom, so he made his system tough?
Right.
Or does he have a tough system?
And by the way, the Cowgirls thing is just stupid and dated now. You know, yeah. It's past.
It's okay, man. Stuck in a hot tub time machine.
Billy in Dallas is next. Billy, what's going on? What's your take on Dak? You're on ESPN Radio.
Yes, sir. I'd just like to say that Dak should take zero hits whatsoever before the real season because, obviously, we don't have a good backup. And if he goes down, we have zero chance of making the playoffs, okay? So last year, we just got a taste of them. We've been waiting this whole time. If something happens before the season starts, it'll be a mutiny here in Dallas.
Hey, have you ever heard about the term in football talk called, like, setting your pads?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so like we have this thing like setting your pads, right? Because every year we come into camp, the first couple of days are the worst days, not because like the practice is hard, because the first day you hit, your body hasn't been hit in months. So it responds differently. So you got to start building up. Like it's funny, right? It's like a callus. The more you get hit, the more you can take. But the first couple of days or the first couple of times you get hit, you can't move the next day. You have to force your body to kind of work through it. Right, Dak hasn't had his pad set. So I'm concerned that if he takes a big hit against the Super Bowl champions, the next week he's going to be compromised because his body's going to be so sore and he's starting from live bullets where you can't really protect him. You can't protect Dak Prescott when you're going against another opponent that don't care nothing about him.
How much is adrenaline going to carry him that first week?
Well, you can't get the shots in the butt no more, so you can't get the Toradol shots.
No, but you know what I mean.
But they got the Toradol pill.
Right.
But the thing is, once that wears off, then what do we have, right? Mm-hmm. Does that leg swell up? Like, it may be healthy, but how healthy is it,
but
right?
I just mean from being fired up of playing.
All that. He may go out and try and do too much, right? He may try and rip one through the wall, right? Trying to throw through tight coverage, you know, use that arm strength. And how would that lat react? Would that lat pull? Right? Like we see baseball players. We just live this, right? We talked about Jacob DeGrom. Oh, he's fine. He's fine. He's fine. He ain't fine.
No, he's not. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Quickly, Robert in Dallas. 20 seconds, Robert, on deck. Go.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
20 seconds. Go, go,
go.
Yeah, I feel like Dak Prescott should not play in the preseason because he knows the offense. He's been there. He knows how to get hit.
He's been there for five games.
He's a backup quarterback.
Yeah, that's true. He was there for five games, though. I don't know how much he really knows the offense, the nuance, right? The package to the package and how to get in the right plays, because how much did he learn in one season?
You know, Bart, not too many pundits are too high on the Steelers this year.
I am. Everybody going to jump on that train real soon. And you wearing black again. You're not allowed to wear black until you come over to the dark side.
Well, we're going to find out what our next guest thinks of that. May not be too fond of it. Fond, I should say.